Sam Malai here. At The Law Entrepreneur with our host, Bridget Norris, we focus on law firm strategies for law firm growth. Practical plays to help scale firms for every shape, size, and practice. It's time to talk about scaling. Let's have some fun.
Welcome, Emily, to the Law Entrepreneur Podcast. We're super excited to talk to you today. I know we're going to talk a lot about hiring, which is a huge conversation inside my legal academy all the time. So I'm excited to get a bunch of their questions answered. But before we dive right in, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your background?
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for having me, Bridget. I'm really excited to talk about this topic. I am an attorney with Malik & Malik. We're a mid-sized firm based in Washington and Idaho. We do business law, litigation, transactions, healthcare, small businesses, nonprofits, pretty much across the board. I am in the transactions department. I am a business and real estate transactions attorney. I don't like the fighting part of going to court. So that is my happy place. I also teach law as an adjunct professor at Gonzaga Law School. I do the first year legal research and writing course. I love having that as part of my legal experience. It gives me an opportunity to kind of stay fresh with the youngins coming into the field. Let's see, before law school, I worked for about 8 years in healthcare administration. Started as a receptionist and worked my way up to coordinating all of the credentialing for a large multi-specialty medical clinic, kind of HR and recruiting adjacent roles. And then I decided to earn an MBA, kind of one class at a time while my kiddos were little, then did some freelance business consulting, mostly for healthcare clients and nonprofits, before going back to law school a little bit later in life. And that got me to where I am today.
That is a lot. We're happy with just one thing, got multiple things. How do you balance the, you know, being a lawyer in the office and being, you know, a professor? Like, and it seems like a lot.
It can be. Part of the way I balance it is that I enjoy both of them and I love having both of them in my life. The teaching really only takes one afternoon of the week. Of course, the prep work takes a little bit more time, but this is my fourth year teaching the course. So there's still some prep work involved, but it definitely, familiar with it and more comfortable with it. And you don't have to take quite as much time to prepare. But I do, it's Friday afternoons that I teach. So I front load a lot of my work in the earlier part of the week that gives me that Friday afternoon to have a little bit more breathing room to focus on the teaching. And I love the students. They're so excited to be embarking on this legal journey. I really just enjoy it.
Love that. So tell me, how did you get involved with or decide like that you have a passion about talking about hiring? Because it's something that I find people either really like, or they just really dislike. They really do not want to do it. They don't want to be involved in it. They don't want to talk about it. It's a necessary evil if you own a business or a firm. So how did that become, you know, part of your main core?
Sure. I guess it started when I was working in healthcare administration. I wasn't doing the actual hiring, but I was adjacent to the hiring process. So I got to kind of see some of the behind the scenes work there, and it kind of sparked an interest in me. So when I was going through my MBA program, I took several courses focusing on human resources. And then coming into this position, I have the opportunity to both working with the students, participate in the on-campus interviews for internships, and just being able to meet new people. I love people. I love talking to people and learning their stories and learning about what's important to them and just kind of getting behind the mask that we sometimes put up, especially in the hiring process, to really get to know someone. I really enjoy that part of it. So when our firm was looking at the best way to approach hiring, we're a pretty young firm still. We've only been around for about 10 years. So it's been through a couple of different iterations our hiring process has. And when they were looking for attorneys in the firm who were not the owners and not the managers, not the practice group leads, we call them, to be actively participating in the hiring process, I raised my hand and said, that's something I'd love to do. I'd love to get to know these people who are considering joining us. And that's been about 3 years now, and I'm just really enjoying it still.
I think that might be the biggest piece that even just before all the general questions is that you're saying, I want to get to know these people. I think that's a missing piece on understanding the interview process, because I think we're like, oh my God, I got 100 resumes. I got to weed through those. And then I got to go through, you know, 10 or 20 interviews. And this is such a long process. So it feels very robotic, mechanical. You're not really getting, you know, are you qualified? Are you not? That's kind of where we stand on. And I think we're missing values, missing, you know, understanding if you're misaligned with maybe the values of the firm or the mission of the firm. Just because they're qualified, I think, doesn't mean that they're a fit. So how do you, I don't wouldn't say obviously we wouldn't base an entire interview on values, but when we start with values, you know, where should someone start if they're starting with values when they're hiring?
That's a great question. And that actually, that process starts before the hiring process. I think it starts with, as a firm, being really, really clear about what your mission and what your values are, and then making sure that those values and that mission are incorporated into your outward facing messaging. So emails that are going out to clients in a newsletter, Facebook posts or other social media posts on your website, making it very clear what those values are, what that mission is, that's going to attract people who have some level of alignment, maybe not 100% alignment, but some level of alignment. And that'll be also kind of a message to those that that message or that mission doesn't resonate with, that maybe this isn't the place that I'm going to be happy in the long term. So it has to start way before you're even thinking about hiring, being clear as a firm what your mission and what your values are, and then figuring out how to incorporate that into your external messaging so that you're projecting the image that you want to attract, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because I think, like, a lot of times when I talk with some of the firms inside our program, I'm like, let's start with strategic planning. And I'll usually say, let's start with what mission and values are. And usually the response is, well, this is my brand. I'm a personal injury attorney and I help, you know, people with car accidents. I'm like, that's not really your mission. And that's nothing to do with what we're talking about here. So I think, first of all, understanding the difference between what you do and what your values and your mission are is like the number one place that they need to start.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned before, that's not everything. That can't be everything. We use a framework called the 3 C's to kind of guide our process. And one of those is character, and then chemistry and competence. So competence is kind of our baseline. You have to be able to do the job that we need someone to fill this role for. And that, a lot of factors go into that. What exactly are we looking for? Are we hiring for a seasoned litigator? Are we looking for a new grad in transactions? Are we looking for someone who has a lot of depth that can help our healthcare team? So you really have to hone in again on what specific competencies you're looking for and make sure that that is there as a baseline. But then our character and our chemistry questions go more towards integrity for character, for humility, for work ethic. What kind of person are you? And then chemistry is more about, do you play well with others? Are you going to fit with our team? Is this going to be a situation where there's constantly tension, that we're just not working well together? Because one of our values as a firm is that teamwork model, that very team-based focus. That's very important to us. So if that's not something that's going to work for both of us, then this may not be the right fit for you.
So that kind of leads into my next question. I think I kind of thought of an example, but like a real example of a misaligned value that maybe didn't come out in the interview and you hire, but that really could affect the firm's culture or maybe even affect the performance. I mean, have you seen, or I'm sure you have, but have you seen one that you can give an example of that really would have that effect?
I mean, we try really hard in the interview process to be very, very clear and very, very transparent about what our culture is, what we're looking for, and really try to lean from them what they're looking for to make sure that there is that alignment. Of course, it's never going to be 100%. There's always going to be something that we missed. But I think, I'm trying to think of a good example. We hired someone that was a pretty seasoned litigator that we thought would be able to be a good mentor for some of our younger litigators. And this person presented themselves during the interview process as somebody who was very mentorship focused and really had a preference for doing that type of teaching and mentoring. And fortunately, when we actually got into, this person joined our firm and we started working together, and he was working with some of the younger attorneys, that turned out not to be the case. The style of mentoring that he was familiar with was not something that aligned with our values. Looking back at our interview process, the piece that we missed was when we were doing reference checks, all of our references were for peers rather than from anyone that he had mentored. So we refined our process after that to make sure that we were including references from all types of relationships with the person, that it was not just a one-dimensional, these are my colleagues, these are my peers, but that if we're looking for someone who will be a mentor, that we look for people that they have a mentor, that we can get that more specific feedback for.
That makes sense. I was thinking, you know, as somebody who is very, you know, type A, likes to get all their work done on their own, it's very hard for them to have to then rely on a team of people that maybe they're waiting on a piece for or part of that. So it's that piece was I was thinking instantaneously, because people like to, you know, if that's their personality, they like to move, they like to get things done. And then having to work with a team sometimes can hinder their process in their mind. And then I can't see how that would be cohesive.
Sure. And I think it's, again, it comes back to really clear communication and transparency on the front end during that interview process. And we certainly have attorneys that like working on their own. The team-based model is more of a kind of support network. So if, for example, I went on vacation this August, I was gone for a whole week on the Oregon coast, and I did not look at my email once because I knew that I had my legal assistants were checking my email. I had teammates that had access to all of my files. We have everything on the cloud so that if something came up, they were able to respond. They didn't have to pester me on vacation because they had all of the tools that they needed. And some of the matters were matters that I had been working on with another attorney. Some of them I was the only attorney on, but everyone had access to everything. And we don't have a sense of, I guess, possessiveness over our individual cases. And what that does is it frees us up to be able to go on vacation and not think about it, which I think is a wonderful way to avoid burnout.
Necessity. And I think I know for the solos that are listening, they're like, well, that doesn't not never going to apply to me because I don't have anybody that can step in. But I think that starts with hiring a team that you can trust to at least be the buffer in between. And, you know, obviously, if you're the only person and there's an emergency on something, it's the only thing you can answer. Obviously, unfortunately, you know, that's how it is until you get to that point. But I see that it's the gap in between that, like not even trusting the team that you have to even handle the initial part. And I think that's the initial part of hiring, that if you hired somebody based on those, even if we use the framework that you gave with the three C's, you should be able to then trust that person to at least be that part of it. And I think that that's a big piece that's missing for sure for a lot of solos. So is there a way that you take that 3C method and then practically use it, and I don't want to say test in the interview, but for lack of a better word, it's kind of testing inside the interview.
Yes, actually, one of the things that we incorporated after I started on this committee, this hiring committee, we make sure that we incorporate a staff member at some point during the interview process, because it's very telling when an interviewee treats the staff member different from the attorney or from people that they perceive to be in some kind of position of power. And that's a huge red flag for us. The team-based model that we have is not just our attorneys. It's our clients experience specialists. It's our legal assistants. It's our accountant, our COO. Everybody who is not an attorney is part of our team as well. And we are not interested in having people join our firm that are not going to treat every person on our team with respect. So including our staff members in that interview process is, I think, a really telling moment. Is it Muhammad Ali? I think several people have said it, that, you know, the way that you treat waiters is very telling. It's very, you know, revealing. And we kind of use that same concept here. If you aren't going to treat our legal assistant with respect, that's a pretty big red flag on the character C that maybe you're not going to be a good fit for our team.
I love that. I think that kind of comes into the other thing that you talk about, which is hiring as a team sport. That is like bringing your team into the process. Because normally, you know, from just experience and, you know, working in very large corporate firms and companies, their process usually is, okay, maybe you have one or two interviews. It's with a couple different people, still usually top level people. And then you're not meeting anyone until, okay, you're onboarded and you're here. So let's thrust you in and meet everyone. And I think that it's a bit backwards, because if you're only dealing with just that, if you're in a position where you're only dealing with top level people, which I can't imagine, you know, unless you're going to be a, you know, CEO or something along those lines, that maybe you're just dealing in that level, there's never going to be a time that you're not dealing with other people within the firm. So obviously adding them into the interviews is one step, but is there any other way that you incorporate team members in hiring without the hiring process being like chaos? Because it seems, you know, adding lots of steps or just making it chaos for you who's, you know, handling the process itself.
Yeah. One of the other things we do is when we receive a resume or a cover letter, someone has expressed interest, we'll often send out company-wide message, kind of a Google form saying, hey, this person has expressed interest. Does anybody know anything about this person? Have you had any interactions with this person? And it's just a real brief. We want to make sure that we're gathering all of the information that we have easily accessible to us. And that has, one time we had somebody apply who happened to be the second cousin of one of our attorneys that we had no idea. So it kind of reveals some interesting things sometimes, or it gives you a, oh yeah, I taught them in this class in law school, or, oh yeah, we had this great interaction at this gala that we both went to. So it gives just more touch points of commonality maybe with that interviewee that helps us again develop that relationship and get to know them a little bit better before we're making, you know, big decisions about them. So that's kind of the first step in the process. But then we also have at least 3 interviews along the way that incorporate different attorneys, different experience levels, different practice areas, different locations. Again, to make sure that we are getting that those different perspectives from as many different people as we can without bogging the process down.
If your calendar is empty or chaotic, My Legal Academy Systems helps fill it with consults, streamline intake, and make marketing easy and measurable. Start your firm's growth journey today. Book a call with us at schedule.mylegalacademy.com. Again, that's schedule.mylegalacademy.com.
So inside our Grow Track program, we actually help hiring a lot. We help with interviewing, we help with hiring. And a lot of the firms hiring virtual, so remote positions, whether they're US or non-US based, I mean, they have a ton of questions that they always ask, but we talk about what KPIs that they should have. And that's obviously different for every role. Obviously, every role is going to have different, but I feel like there's probably some standard KPI performance that they should have based on generality. Like, this is what our firm expects. And does that tie into then their mission and the culture when you're establishing those type of KPIs, that's the standard?
You know, we really try to take each applicant on their own terms, on an individual basis. So I wouldn't say that we have kind of standard KPIs across the board so much as our values are standard and consistent across the board. We do, you know, want you to be licensed in the jurisdiction that we want you to practice in. That's kind of important. And we do, you know, basic background check, Google search, that has yielded some interesting things a time or two as well. As for specific KPIs, we're pretty flexible on having a conversation when we get to that point with the applicant of what are you looking for in your practice? Do you want to work full time? Do you want to work part time? How many hours are you looking to put into this? Because again, work-life balance is really important to us, and we want to make sure that what we need and what you're looking for are going to fit. And that transparency and clear communication ahead of time is going to enable us to both make sure that this is going to be a good long-term fit. Because it doesn't help anyone to get into a situation where a month in, you're like, oh yeah, this is not what I was expecting. I need to find someplace else. That's not helping anyone, either the firm or the applicant.
You know, I agree. I was thinking that next is like, so how soon, you know, the setting the expectations of seeing results or understanding the role, you know, before red flags may come up, do you set a, like, this is what our expectations are for 30 days, we'll visit it, or we'll visit it in 60, whatever it is, just because I don't, how long does it take normally for a red flag to come up? It could be, I mean, it's something you just didn't hit in the interview, like your example before with the mentoring. How long does usually, do you allow that to go and expect to see a red flag if one's going to pop up?
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the whole clear communication thing is, I cannot emphasize that enough. The second that something at all concerning comes up, I think it's worth a conversation to say, hey, just wanted to have a conversation about this interaction that I saw, or, you know, your numbers are looking really, really low. Is there something that we can do to support you in that? Do you need some additional training on our system? You know, maybe you've never used Slack or Asana before, which are both programs that we use every day. So maybe we can give you some more support on that. Do we need to have a conversation with you and the legal assistant about how they can help you organize your time a little bit better, or things that they can take off your plate that are administrative tasks that you don't need to be focusing on? So the second that there's something that seems a little bit off, it's worth a conversation. That being said, if there's a huge red flag, act on it immediately. Again, it doesn't do anybody any favors to drag things out. If this is not the right place for someone, then let's get you to a position where you can find something that is the right place. And it's not worth damaging our culture to keep somebody around because it would be too hard to let them go. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because I'm thinking, like, there's got to be a balance between the soft skills, like culture, and the hard skills metrics that are needed to actually do the job. There's got to be a balance between there. And I think, I mean, obviously, depending on the role, if you're hiring an assistant, it's going to be different than what your expectations are of a litigator, of course. But is there a balance of that? If you have somebody that comes in that's, you know, the soft skills that are culture fit seem like it fits really well, but maybe they don't have all of the hard skills that you need for that role, where you guys then make the decision that this is a good fit for us, we'll work on training, advancing. Because
yes.
I see a lot of people say it just didn't work out. They, you know, couldn't do the job. And my first question is, you know, did you review the resume? Did they have the skills to do the job in the first place? Or did you not give them the tools to do the job? And then here we are.
Yes. And those are both really important aspects there. During the interview process, did you hit all of those points that this is the role, this is what we're looking for? You know, we're looking for a first chair litigator who can handle all of these cases on their own with little support. And then you interview someone 2 years out of law school and you're expecting them to step up to that level. That's not a realistic expectation. So let's make sure that the role duties and expectations are clear on that front end. And then once you get into the position, if you've done your homework on that front end and they're in the position, there's always going to be some kind of learning curve because every firm functions a little bit differently. They have their own internal processes and whatnot. But if the character and the chemistry is there, a lot, not all, but a lot of the competence issues can be taught. If, as long as there is that mentorship capacity within the firm, as long as it's not to the extent that you don't have the capacity as a firm to bring them up to that level, it's absolutely worth putting some time in to say, look, I noticed you're kind of struggling in this area. What can we do to support you? Can we provide some additional mentoring time? What can we do to get you to where we need you to be? And that, I think that's always worth a conversation, especially if the chemistry and character are there. That competence, you can usually, as long as everyone in the process is willing to work on it, you can usually get them to, I think, a place where it's workable for sure.
I think it's also what I found is somebody that really has the drive and the desire to grow usually is the person that is going to be the best fit. Because they want to do the job, they're excited to do it, they excel in it, and they usually grow a lot faster than you're thinking. Because I know most people are like, oh God, I'm gonna have to train, it's gonna take forever, they're never gonna understand it, it's gonna take more, you know, workload on me, this is gonna take too long. I mean, I've heard all of the excuses, but I think that's just something that you can't teach. So if that person really has that, I'm always like, start there. And, you know, this person is going to end up being a person that when you hire the next one, they can train the next person. You're not actually in this. You got to do this once and do it really well.
Absolutely. And one of the things in my very first class every semester with my law students, one of the things we cover is the difference between the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. That especially in law school, you're going to be drinking from a fire hose and you are going to fail. You are going to make mistakes and you need to be willing to, instead of feeling like that's the end of the world and you're never going to be an attorney and oh my gosh, this is awful, you need to be able to take those as learning opportunities to grow from. And I think you're absolutely right. Somebody with that growth mindset, somebody who enjoys that learning process, is going to be a much quicker student, quicker learn on all of these new skills.
So for somebody who is in the hiring process, or who knows the hiring process is coming up for them, and maybe they have established their vision and their mission and they understand what the culture is. And I think part of, I want to preface this and say, if you don't know, you don't know what your team culture is, you probably need to visit that, because I've had a couple of our members where I feel like they kind of let the team do what they were going to do. And when you're involved in it, you're realizing how much of a mess that is and how much work that it needs and how bad that it was uncomfortable for all the team members in lots of different ways. So I think number one, if you don't know what the culture is, you probably should get with your team and figure that out. So if they've established the mission and the vision and they understand the culture, they know what they're looking for, what is the next step to actually, because I really think that they need to have a hiring process before you just start, you know, out there hiring randomly.
I am a big fan of writing processes down. So we have an actual like checklist that we go through. When a resume comes in, this is what we do with it. This is who it goes to for the first review. This is who sets up the initial screening interview, if you will, that just, you know, do that kind of initial pass by. This is who does that initial Google search and verifies licensure to make sure that we're on, you know, at least that baseline of competence and whatnot. So having a written out procedure, I'm just a huge fan of checklists, so that everybody knows what the process is. There isn't a step that gets missed because you're in a rush or because somebody, you know, didn't think it was important this time around. And that way, you know that you're checking all those boxes, you know that you're hitting all of those points. And that also provides you some backup and some coverage so that you can make sure that you're not the one that missed something, because it's on that list. We check that thing.
Great. So not the overall process, but I would say if there's one shift that they should either know or remember or maybe institute in the actual interviewing process that would actually make the most benefit to them, what would that be?
The question that we always make sure to ask is, why Malik and Malik? We want to know specifically what drew you to our firm. And sometimes that question is itself just very, very revealing. You can tell who has done their homework and who has not even looked at the website. That is, I think, the best initial tool for making sure that there is that at least basic alignment, that they value your time enough to have done a little bit of prep work and that they know what they're looking for in their career and in have found at least some of that initially in your firm. So if you're not already asking, you know, why specifically us? Why did you not apply to the law firm down the street? Or what is drawing you to us? Because sometimes you are in a position where you just need to find a job. But what is it about us that would make us a good fit for you? I want to hear from the interviewer how we are going to help them, not just how they are going to help us.
I love that. I think that's a great, I always like to leave everyone with something solid they can implement and they can do without, you know, it being a lot. The excuse, like, I'm not going to just leave here and create a checklist, although I highly recommend that you start or you have somebody in it that helps you handle this, create that, because I think you're right. I think there's lots of things are missed and lots of steps are missed. And I think, I mean, I don't even know how many times I've gotten with a VA, and especially it's hard when they're virtual, where they've said, okay, I started yesterday and I still don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, how is that even possible? And they're like, and they're in poor. And so I don't know what to do. Can you tell me what to do? And I'm like, okay, wow. So, you know, first things first on, you know, why you need the hire. And I think understanding, you know, maybe we can leave them with this, understanding what you're hiring for. I mean, obviously, if you're hiring an attorney and a litigator, I mean, it's very clear the roles that they're going to fill. I think it's maybe it comes a little bit ambiguous when you've got a paralegal or a law clerk or an assistant. But really kind of understanding, what is this role really for? What is their capacity? What, you know, how is it going to help me? Because I think we talk about, and like, what's the ROI? Like, what role are they serving? I think just being super clear on why you're hiring. I think some people just like, it's kind of fancy and flashy. Like online, everybody's like, I just want to make seven figures. I want to make $1 million. I feel like I just need to hire is now like this flashy thing that they just do it. And then we realize, oh, crap, I don't know what I'm doing.
And the other thing that I want to say is it's sometimes very, very easy to be focused on that. I've got to fill this role. We've got, you know, clients that need support. We've just got to fill this role. And, you know, this person isn't a good fit and this person might be a good fit. But remember that these are people on the other side of the table or the other side of the screen. And close the loop. Have good communication. I cannot tell you, I've got a 23-year-old son who just graduated from college, and the number of resumes he sent out and heard nothing, or gone to an interview and heard nothing after that. Close the loop. These are human beings who have feelings. If you have the opportunity, just even a quick email, you know, thank you, we went in a different direction, but something to close that loop so that people aren't left hanging. Everybody's busy. Totally understand that. But remember that these are people. Everyone in this process is a person, a human being with feelings. And even just that quick email or a quick phone call saying, hey, you know what? We decided we're actually not hiring for this position at this moment. We'd love to keep your resume on file. Please keep in touch. Or even a blanket, you know, template email going out is better than absolute silence. So just remember that there are people involved, and that even that itself is just a step above what so many companies and firms are doing, that it will set you apart as a good place to work. You will get a good reputation because you're treating people like people instead of like interchangeable parts.
That is definitely something I think that's missed a lot. And you're right. I think it's just, I guess, for just add it to your checklist. It's the last thing that, you know, not necessarily you as the, you know, if you're an attorney that's doing the hiring and it have someone on your team that's already there, make that, you know, email or send it out, or, you know, make that contact so that it is closed. I think that's great. And I do think that we're just so in the, I mean, at this point, I'm sure there's an AI, something that can do that for you at some point. But I think it's the connection pieces are missing. So you're right. Like if you went back to hire that person and they, maybe it was a great fit and maybe you just didn't decide to hire for that role right now. And then you've done that and they don't even answer you. That's a sure sign that they're probably, they got the message.
Yeah. And it is all about relationships. So keep that in mind in all of the interactions, building those relationships, even if it's not a good fit now, it might be down the line, or who knows, you might be looking for a job down the line somewhere. So
very true.
Don't burn any bridges.
Very true. Oh, all right. So I love that. If you guys, we'll have Emily's contact information in the show notes. We'll link her on LinkedIn as well, so that if you want to reach out and, you know, connect with her, I'm sure she'll have some great information for you if you need it. But I appreciate you coming on for this. I think this is a conversation that we've had before and we talk about it a lot, but I just think that it seems so hard for people to put the steps in process, that I like that you've boiled it down to three things. It does not need to be 100 things. It's three things we check for and, you know, make it super easy. I think if you just focus on that, it's not as complicated as you make it out to be.
It's still a process, but we think we've got it dialed in pretty well.
I love it. Thank you, Emily. I appreciate you being on.
Thanks, Bridget. Appreciate the opportunity. Take care.
You too. Hiring isn't about filling seats. It's about building teams that actually reflect your firm's values. Today, I'm sitting down with Emily Geddes, attorney, business strategist, and professor who's mastered the intersection of law, business, and leadership. In this episode, you'll hear how to hire based on values, why hiring is a team sport, and the three C's you need to evaluate if you want talent that actually drives your vision forward. If you've ever worried about hiring the wrong person or struggled to find the right one, this conversation will change how you approach it forever.
That's the Law Entrepreneur for today. I'm Sam Malai. I appreciate you listening. Subscribe to the Law Entrepreneur for more legal content and practical growth plays.